fight our battles for us.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. And God, as I bring forth this word, Lord, that you will just open up the scriptures and Lord, that you will speak to your people in the name of Jesus. God, we just give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in this place. Amen and amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Amen. We're starting a brand new series this morning. It's called Eyes Wide Open. All right. Anybody ever stayed up till midnight before and perhaps, you know, it was a struggle. So you grab some toothpicks or whatever it is so you can keep your eyes wide open. We're going to keep our eyes wide open, but it's not for the beginning of the year, because as we know, this year has been quite it threw us quite the curveball that we anticipated. At the beginning of 2020, man, we had so many dreams and aspirations. Then we're going to do this. We're going to conquer the world. We're going to do this and this. And then, you know, we get hit with the pandemic. But today we're going to look at something totally different. We're going to have our eyes wide open on the end times. And so what does that look like as believers? What did Jesus tell us about the end times? What can we gather from this? And so he has given us some symbols or some signs to look for, some things that his disciples, whenever they asked him, Lord, tell us about the end times and tell us when this is going to be, that Jesus answers them directly. And so he speaks to his disciples and he tells them, this is the signs that you are to look for. And so we're going to be studying in the book of Matthew chapter 24. We're going to start in verse 3 and we're going to go all the way down to verse 44. So hopefully you guys are in for the long haul as we jump into the book of Matthew. It says this in verse 3, it says, "And as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered him, see that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and they will lead many astray. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All of these are but the beginning of birth pains." So whenever, I like Jesus, because whenever we ask simple questions like, show us a sign of the end times, what will that be like? Jesus, he is not too mighty or too high, too mighty, where he cannot speak to us or he cannot answer our questions. And so whenever his disciples ask a question, Jesus answers his questions. How many guys have a question for Jesus? How many guys have questions or things you have asked Jesus? He cares about those things, and guess what? He answers those questions. He is concerned about us. But he gives us a couple things that will happen as signs of the beginning of the end, if you will. And a couple of these things involve, first one is false Christ. He said many false Christs will rise up. And so what does this look like? Many people rising up to proclaim themselves as Jesus, to proclaim themselves as the Messiah. Whenever, you know, there was great anticipation amongst the Jews that the Messiah would come, but yet whenever Jesus came to the earth, they somehow lost the sight of the promise, and they did not receive Jesus as the promised one. They did not receive him as the Messiah. And especially whenever he was crucified, surely they thought, well, we must have missed it. We got it wrong. We thought Jesus might have been it, but he's crucified. He's dead. He's gone. Our hopes, our anticipation is ruined. There must be someone else. And so these other Christs, if you will, proclaiming themselves to be Christ, rose up. So we did see some of this to some extent, but we will see even more of this as the end approaches. Other signs that Jesus warns us of, he says, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom. He talks about famines, which is no food, and earthquakes, where, you know, we're seeing so many of these things. And so what I'm going to say to you, that no man, first of all, no man knows the hour or when Christ will return. So if anybody says, oh, he's coming on such and such date, guess what? He's not coming on that date. You can scratch that day out of your calendar. Because the Bible says nobody knows. No one knows the hour or the time that in which Jesus will come. But we're to look for these clues. And going back to this, Jesus said, look, these are the beginning signs. These are the birthing pains, if you will, of what's to come. And so I have never been pregnant, as you can tell. I'm a man. But from what I hear, you know, you will have tremendous amount of pain throughout your pregnancy. Your body will hurt, and You know, but the implication is this, that you are carrying something new. You are carrying new life on the inside of you, which is not revealed to anyone else yet. No one can see that child. But at some point in the future, that child will come and it will be manifest to all where that everyone can see that child. And so Jesus says, just as you begin to see the signs of the time, you begin to see the false prophets leading you away, you begin to see famines and earthquakes and all these things, that you can expect that there is something great on the horizon. And even though it's hidden right now, even though it's not revealed to the eyes of men, that one day that we will see in full Jesus coming for his bride who has made herself ready. This is the expectation that we have as Christians. This is the hope that we have that we can bank on, that we can trust in. So he gives us three things, false Christs, wars and rumors of wars, famines and earthquakes, and he says this is just the beginning. And so I have a little timeline that I like to show at this point. And so here we go. So if we look at the cross, this is where Jesus came to the earth. He died for our sins and he resurrected. Then we look right past this. We see that this was 70 AD where the Romans destroyed the temple. We believe somewhere right here we could be in the beginning of birth pains, but we believe we're right here. And so as I go through this, I know there are many beliefs. Some people think that we will be raptured away before the Great Tribulation. But as I'm studying the Bible, I'm realizing, no, we're going to be raptured after the Great Tribulation. And I hope the church is ready. I hope that we have some endurance in us. And so that's what I want to instill into us this morning. And so what Jesus said, the beginning of birth pains, these 3.5 years, according to the prophecy in Daniel, that there will be false Christs that rise, there will be wars, there will be famines and earthquakes, there will be plagues. Then the sign that we are to look for at that point is the abomination of desolation. Let's look at that right quick in the scriptures. It says in verse 9, it says, then they will deliver you up to tribulation. So Jesus says, then. That means this is following what he already said. You're going to see these signs. You're going to see these wonders. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, how many of you guys signed up for that whenever you became a Christian? You're like, I just want to die for Christ. I just want to lay down my life. I want to die a martyr's death. I'm sure none of us had this in mind whenever we signed up for this, whenever we said, God, I'm giving you my heart. But that's what it really means. God, I'm giving you my heart. I'm giving you my life. I'm willing to die because I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you are the Christ, the risen Lord. And I'm willing to die. And if it costs me everything, I'm willing to give it my all. Jesus says, he warns of it, they will deliver you up to tribulation, they will put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. So what will kick off this tribulation? What will kick it off? If we scroll down to verses 15 and 21, we have some insight. It says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. So when you see the abomination of desolation, whenever you see that sign, you know that the tribulation is coming. That is the kicking. That, you know, that's going to start it off. You know, whenever we play basketball, we play a football game, there's a coin flip. You know, you do the Star Spangled Banner and all this. That's what kicks off the game. This is going to kick off the tribulation, according to Matthew chapter 24. And so in verse 15, it says, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by the prophet Daniel standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. For then there will be great tribulation, in verse 21, such as has not been from the beginning of the world until now. No, and never will be. So we see that Jesus is speaking of a time where there will be great tribulation. And it has never been the case in all the earth, in all period of time. But at this moment in time, this great tribulation, it will be so great. I believe this will cause the falling away. This will cause the persecution of the saints. You know, if you're not rooted, if you're not grounded in your faith, if you don't have a strong foundation, and if we are the ones to go through the tribulation, if we are the ones who are called for the end times, you know, will your faith stand, or will you fall? Will you be the ones who fall away? Will you be deceived by false prophets, as it talks about right here? These false prophets will have signs. They will show wonders because God will allow them to do that. And they will deceive many. Many will fall away in these days in this great persecution, in this great tribulation. There will be increase of sin up to the point where Christ returns. In 2 Thessalonians 2, 3 through 4 says, let no one deceive you in any way, for that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first. And the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself against every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God. This is the abomination of desolation, what he is talking about in the book of Daniel. So if we can have that timeline back up. So the abomination of desolation. So this lawless person, this antichrist, is going to arise up. He's going to be in Jerusalem, and he's going to proclaim himself to be God. The most blasphemous thought you could or saying that you can ever say, he is going to do this, and this is going to kick off the great tribulation. Now, whenever Jesus says that this tribulation will be so great, not even there will be nothing that ever compared to it. And you think about that. You think about the disciples who died as martyrs for the sake of Christ. How Peter, he said, look, I am not even worthy to die as my Lord. Crucify me upside down. And then Paul was beheaded for preaching the gospel. Andrew was also crucified. Thomas was speared to death. Philip was cruelly put to death. Matthew, the converted tax collector, he was stabbed to death for the gospel. Bartholomew preached all over, and he too died a martyr's death. James ministered in Syria, and he was stoned and clubbed to death for the sake of the gospel of Jesus. Matthias, the one that was chosen to replace Judas, he preached in Syria, and he was burned to death. And then you have John, who is believed to be the only one who died a natural death, but yet for the sake of the gospel, he was thrown into a pot of hot oil, and he escaped unharmed. These men, I mean, they believed in the message of Jesus Christ. They believed that Jesus was the Son of God that they were willing to die for. They were willing to give up everything. And so what that did for us, it made us really believe the gospel, because if someone is willing to die for something, then it must be true. There must be some validity to it. There must be some truth to what they were saying. They were willing to give their lives up for the sake of the gospel. But Jesus says, yes, you have experienced tribulation in this earth, but I'm talking about a great tribulation that will surpass anything that this earth has ever seen. Is what Jesus began to foretell. So in verse 10 it says, then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed through the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. So, after this abomination of desolation, we see persecution. Persecution against the church. Persecution against those who believe in Jesus. We see a falling away because the persecution is going to be so great. My question today, are you going to be in the number that falls away? Are you going to be in the number that gives in? If we were to endure this time period, if we were to endure this great tribulation, will you be there? Will you be the ones who fall away? Or will your faith be rock solid and say, you know what? I believe in Jesus. It doesn't matter what I go through or what I experience. I'm holding on to the cross and I'm putting my faith and my trust in him. Or is your faith that unshakable? Amen. So if we scroll down to verse 22, it says, and if those days, talking about the days of the tribulation, had not been cut short, no human being would be saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So God is so merciful, and he's so kind, and he's so patient towards us. He says, look, I love my people. I love my sons. I love my daughters. And though they might have to endure this tribulation, I'm not going to extend it any more than this allotted time. Because if I do, then no one would survive. No one, all human beings would be destroyed. But for the sake of the elect, for the elect's sake, for my beloved's sake, I will cut this time short so that they can endure it to the end. That's how much God loves us. That's how much he cares for us. Like even in the midst of all of this that we go through, that we see that God is a merciful God, and He is for you, and He is not against you. Verse 29, through 31, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, so if we can have that timeline back up just for a second. Just for a moment. And so if you guys were in our Romans class, we talked a little bit about this, how, you know, at the end of time that Jesus will reveal himself to Israel and they will see and they will believe. We see the same thing in this scripture where God is so committed to Abraham and the promise that he made to Abraham that he will reveal himself again. It says that the sign of the Son of Man will appear first. And then we learn in Romans at that time, the Israelites, those who are Jews, those who are descendants of Abraham will see Jesus and they will believe. What an incredible and merciful God that we have, and what a faithful God that He is so faithful to keep His promises. And so, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened. So after the tribulation, the signs that we can look for if we are around during this time, that the sun will be darkened. It'll be pitch black. Imagine that. And it also says that the moon will be turned to blood. That the stars of heaven would fall out of the sky, then Christ will return. So we see this pattern or this list of what happens. First, we see the tribulation. Then we see Christ returning. And then look in verse 31. It says, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet, and they will gather his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. So then we have the tribulation, we have Christ's arrival, and then we have the gathering of the saints. How many guys are the saints? How many guys are the elect? I mean, God has elected you for salvation. God has chosen you to be saved before the world began. He has chosen you. He has wooed you by His Spirit. You have been converted. You have accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. You are saved. You are the elect of God. Guess what? He is coming back for you. And it says that we're going to meet Him in the clouds, that we're going to be with Jesus forever and ever. Isn't that an awesome thing? That though whatever it is that you go through in this life, whatever hardships, whatever difficulties, whatever mountains, whatever obstacles that we face in this life, one day it's not going to matter. We're going to be with Jesus, and we will be with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Amen. Come on, the pain that you experience right now in your earthly body because you're getting old, hey, it won't be there anymore. Amen? You're going to have a glorified body. You're going to be made new. And just as that pregnant woman is expecting a new child, there is newness coming even to your new body. You're going to have a glorified body. Amen? We're not going to see sickness. We're not going to see viruses. We're not going to see depression. We're not going to see anxiety or fear or any of those things anymore. All those things are going to be gone because we're going to be with Jesus. There is no fear whenever you're with Jesus. There is no sorrow whenever you're with the Son of God, the Almighty. There is no sadness whenever you're in His presence. All things are going to be made new during that time. But here's the thing. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16-17, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, with the sound of a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord, to meet Jesus in the air. And so we will be with the Lord always. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. We're to encourage whenever you're feeling down and discouraged. Hey, encourage your brother. Hey, we're going to be with the Lord one day. I know it's bad right now. I know you're going through a difficult time, but we're going to be with the Lord. This time of persecution, this time of tribulation, whatever it is, it's only temporary. But look at verse 36. It says, but concerning that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given into marriage until the day when Noah entered the ark. And they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, and one will be taken, and one will be left. Then two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, and one will be left. Verse 42, therefore, stay awake. Turn to your neighbor and say, stay awake. Stay awake. For you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have left his house to be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. So here's the thing about this message. What are we to do with the end times? More than worrying about when Christ is coming back, more than worrying about, you know, all the details of that, let's focus on becoming the bride that Christ is coming back for. He's coming back for a bride who has made herself ready, who is spotless without wrinkle, a church that is glorious, a church that looks like Christ because we have the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And so let us focus on that. Let us be watchful. Let us anticipate, you know, Christ's arrival. Let us not be like the Jews who lost the anticipation of Jesus coming to the earth, and they missed out on the Messiah. They missed out. Let us not miss out on Jesus coming back. Let us anticipate. Let us expect. Let us have this hopeful expectation that he is coming back for a bride who has made himself ready. Amen. Revelations 19:7 says, let us rejoice and exult and give him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And in Ephesians chapter 5 says, verse 27 says, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. That's the kind of bride that Christ is coming back for, a bride who has made herself ready. Now, that is not found in our own strength. That is not found in our own doing, but the work of Christ. You know, we're not saved by our own good merit. We're not saved by going to church this many times. We're not saved by any good thing that we do. We're saved by the blood of Jesus and what he has already did on the cross for us. Amen. That is the way that we will be spotless. That is the way that we will be without blemish. It's the blood of Jesus on your life. Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your everything? Because when God comes back, if he sees the blood over your life, he's going to pass over, amen? Come on now. He's going to pass over. But if the blood of Jesus is not on your life, you're going to experience the wrath of God. You will not be caught up. You will be the one that's left in the field if you're not covered with the blood of Jesus. I don't know about you. I want to be the one that is caught up in the clouds. I want to be the one that is gathered with the other saints and to meet Jesus in the clouds. So that is what we need to focus on, being the church that Christ is coming back for, being that pure and spotless bride that he's talking about. And I believe even right now during this season, God is refining his church. God is turning up the heat to see who is going to trust them, who is going to stay with them, who is going to, it doesn't matter what comes their way, who is going to be with God and who's going to fall away. So the heat's being turned up. The fire is beginning to refine. Who will be left? Who will stand? Who will endure to the end is the question. Will that be you? Will you endure to the end? Will your faith be so rock solid that you're not going to let anything or anybody stop you and prevent you from experiencing all that God has for your life? Again, I'm not sure if this is going to happen in our lifetimes, but if you're looking at things around us, it sure does look like it will. You know, it sure does look like it will. We are to be excited. We are to anticipate the arrival of Christ. Amen. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes as we end out this morning. God, we just thank you so much for your plan of redemption. We thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins so that we can be forgiven, so that we can be the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. So Lord, we can also be in right relationship with you. We thank you, Lord, that you are coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. So Lord, today, I pray as a church, God, that we would repent of our sins. Lord, that you would cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, from any filth, Lord God, from anything that looks like the world. God, that you will purge us and that you will make us more and more like you. That you will refine your church, oh God, in the name of Jesus. You are coming back for a bride who has made herself ready. God, we want to be in that number. God, whether we see it in our lifetime or not, God, we just choose, Lord, to endure to the end. We won't let anything rob us from the promise that you have for us. God, we will anticipate, Lord, that which you have spoken. We believe it to come to pass. We know that you are the Son of God. You are the Christ. And you said you're coming back for your church, and we believe it. Let us encourage one another, Lord God, for even though the times may be hard, the times may be difficult, we look to a future where we will be with Jesus. God, we thank you, Lord, for each and every person in this place, for those who have lost sight, for those who have fallen away, God, that you would just begin by your Spirit to draw them back into your goodness. Draw them back, Lord God, into your presence. Perhaps you know someone in this place, and they're not right with God. I pray even now that you would just begin to call out their names and pray for their salvation. Lord, this is real, church. This is real. If we don't know Christ, then we're going to spend eternity away from Christ, eternity separated from Christ. God, I pray that our hearts would be burdened for the lost. I pray that we would have your heart. Lord, that we would take this message with urgency and just really begin to proclaim the gospel of Jesus. That if we are living in the last days, God, that your church would be found faithful to do that which you have called us to do. God, we love you, and we just give you all the praise and all the glory in this place. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. We encourage you to walk out those doors, eyes wide open, and so just be awake. You know, in the New Testament alone, it says the word tribulation 55 times. Jesus talks about it, the letters from the Apostle Paul, of course, Revelation and Daniel and Ezekiel. So just be ready and be waiting on the Lord's return. We love you guys. We'll see you this Wednesday at 6:30. And remember, put in your calendar Sunday where we go Hope to the Street. It's from 5 until 7. We can't wait to see you soon. Have a wonderful day in Jesus' name.
Far away, hey. Won't let go. Say, she's knocking on the door. For every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, come on. Mine was about to lose my mind, but God came right on time. He made a way out no way. But he stepped in again and made a way. For every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, if I had a dollar for every time they say God wanna gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire. Oh, wall, had my back against the wall, it looked impossible, but he made a way out of no way.
Yeah. Made a way out of no way.
Life was about to lose my life. He came and paid the price and made a way out of no way. Can have your doubts, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life.
Ooh. Hallelujah.
You can have your doubts, but I can't deny his faithfulness in my own life.
Ooh. Let's go.
If I had a dollar for every time they said God wanted gonna come through, I'd be a millionaire.
sounds good.
If I had a dollar for every time they said I wasn't gonna go through, I'd be a millionaire.
So
my
good.
God is good like that. He's good. My God is good like that.
Yeah,
yeah, he's good like that.
So
my God
good.
Is good like that. He's good.
What if I'm far away?
Behold the truth, won't let
So he said, come on in, take a seat. I made room for you and me. Never leave, oh Jesus, stay with me. Everybody say, come on in, take a seat. I made room for you and me. Never,
sheriff in it, ooh, KBR, passing bars. I'm a lawyer in the booth. I ain't never seen nobody do it like this. Owns every inch and I rule it like this. Look at my world, that's a little like drip. Only go to my list, I'm like, who did I miss? Let it breathe, ooh, cool, let it breathe. Yeah, peace, peace, Jesus, that's my creed. Ooh, Michael B, yeah, he bossing. Don't be a clown, but you're not it. Worship in a marsh pit, I'm in this palm like the tropics. Men and women get in it, they get it, then they live again. Good and generous, definitive, that's from the Genesis. Unlimited, inhibited, look at all of these witnesses. Give you the business, it's taking body, homie, get finished it.
I got a God, don't change for the season. Yeah, 10,000.
you see, I'm on a roll. Been doing this since 16. Yeah. Rapping on the corner in the streets. Yeah. Christ is God, I lost my father, but I never lose my peace. Yeah. Yeah. I think he king, reigning supreme. Ooh, winning with ease. Ooh, you think it's sweet. Yeah, I believe way crazier thing. Cool, I see that he coming back. He said it, then I react. I got this thing in the bag. You go and laugh, I will be doing it last. Yeah. Front to back. I got a goddamn chain with a season. I'm breathing. 10,000 reasons. I couldn't help it. Sing my song. Yeah. Hey, it's crazy when no worship in the mosh pit. You know what I'm saying? Sing my song. H-E-A-K to the second letter.
Yo. Whoa. 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 Holy. Yes. Whoa, pull up on 10 with ease. Know what it meant to be. Money don't grow on trees. So I got a hands on me. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. I've been in my A. Promise I'm on my way. Ain't no time to waste. Till daddy back and stays. Grandma got her visa. She about to take a plane. Shout out to Alicia. Her son about to take the game. Ain't no worries. Ain't no hurry. Trees, sun got a hands on me. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria,
yeah.
Gloria,
whoa. Dios. Whoa, whoa, tu fidelidad. I remember screaming that off the top in the south. Flow it up, Gloria, yeah. Whoa, every night and every day. Youngin' with the Royal Range. Boy Scout had them toys out from the AG on the day. Whoa, missionary minded, ain't no way around it. Got the understand about it. Timmy told me, God got it. Yeah, thank you, Raymond, soul days. Thank you, mama, you prayed. I never forgot how you won't stop. Miami day. Pull it to the studio. Run it like Rufio. This ain't even finished, bro. But I got my own studio. What?
Pull up on 10 with ease. Know what it meant to be. Money don't grow on trees. So I got a hands on me. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Gloria, gloria, Dios. Whoa.
Real book for years, a book and peers, a good look just won't suffice. But homie, my life is hidden in Christ. My life is hidden in Christ. Give me 99 problems plus one God here. The result is
100 million hours, 100. Nothing left. 100. Till nothing left. All I really know is 100. Nothing left. 100. Till nothing left. All I really know is 100. 100. Nothing left. 100. Till nothing left. All I really know is 100. 100. Nothing left. 100. 100. Till nothing left. All I really know is
our God's never feeling. Ain't nothing you can tell him. Yes, he's the generous type, but you face him, you will take that L in. No, our God won't fail us. We know from where our help comes. So I put my life at stake, though it might be blood. I want that well done. 100. If we flipping burgers, if we flipping houses, when our bank accounts don't mean nothing. And if we paid a lot, or if we paid a bit, we gon' be going in, cause he's coming. We trying to be the best that we can be and rest so that the world can see that he's done it. No matter who cuts the checks or where we working at, man, we work for him and we love it.
All I really know is
Put your hands in the air for Cardi.
Don't live.